What makes a concept big? ExxonMobil has a concept that could more than double the world's carbon capture and storage capacity. Learn more about ExxonMobil's efforts to advance climate solutions at energyfactor.com.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, May 18th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Some people in real estate say they've never seen a housing market like this before. Tight inventory is triggering fierce competition among buyers, many of whom are overbidding and stretching beyond what they've budgeted for.
It is going to be quite difficult to get the house at the price that you were hoping for. And you're going to be in a situation where you might be in a bidding war.
Without careful planning, overbidding on a home can wreak havoc on your personal finances, even if you're approved for a higher loan amount. But there are ways to make it work. Coming up, our reporter Deborah Acosta will be here to explain what prospective home buyers should know before aggressively bidding on a house. That's after the break.
What makes a concept big? How about more than doubling the world's carbon capture and storage capacity? ExxonMobil is working on a plan that has the potential to capture and store roughly 100 million metric tons of CO2 per year from the industrial area around the Houston Ship Channel. Learn more about ExxonMobil's efforts to advance climate solutions at energyfactor.com.
Home prices are at their highest level in 15 years. If you're looking to buy, you may be considering stretching beyond your budget to secure your piece of the American dream. But is that the right move? Here to talk about that decision and what goes into it is our personal finance reporter, Deborah Acosta. Deborah, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me, JR.
So Deborah, walk us through the basic math here. What is the standard advice for making sure that you can afford a mortgage?
Sure. So a general rule of thumb is to spend only between a quarter and a third of your monthly gross income on your mortgage payment. So if you're looking at, let's say you make $100,000 a year, you should be spending around $2,340 a month on your mortgage. And it could be a little bit more, a little bit less, depending on what your financial goals are, including spending, paying off debts, and saving for retirement, for example.
But given the current environment, there may be a lot of pressure on people to pay more for the home they want. And I suspect that a lot of people might think that, hey, if the bank offers them a bigger loan, then, you know, why not take it?
Sure. I mean, when I say a quarter and a third, I'm not including maintenance, taxes, and insurance, which are going to be built in. So if you're incorporating all of that, then it's really between 35% and 45% of your monthly gross income is what you should spend on your mortgage, which is quite a bit, actually. And nowadays, mortgage brokers might give you up to 50% in a loan. So you might be able to qualify for a little bit more than that. And really, it depends on what your financial goals are, whether or not you should accept it. You would probably feel pretty stretched if you did go all the way for and spend 50% of your monthly gross income on your mortgage. So really, it's up to you. You can go for it, but you will feel pretty tight when it comes to everything else that you might want to spend on.
So what are some things that people should keep in mind before going over budget on a home?
So one thing that you really want to make sure of right now in this hot market that we're in is that the house that you're buying is really one that you want to spend quite a few years in. That now, let's say you buy a house now, and for whatever reason, in 2 years, the price goes a little bit lower than what you paid, and it happens to coincide with a moment where you want to sell, then you're losing quite a bit of money on your investment. However, if you stay in that house for the next 10 years or the next 7 years even, then you have a lot more cushion there. And even if the market does dip, you won't be in a situation where you're potentially selling in a soft market. So that would be, I guess, the main thing to keep in mind is that you don't want to stretch your budget right now to then, like if this is your starter home, for example, and then decide that you want to sell in a couple of years or even 3 or 4 years, because you could find yourself in a sticky situation.
You know, Deborah, it seems like there's a bit of psychology at play here. It's got to be really tough for people to find out that their dream home is just out of reach.
Well, one silver lining to look at right now is the low mortgage rates that we're experiencing. So you might realize that actually, okay, I can buy a slightly more expensive home because the mortgage rate is so low. And so like my monthly payment is not going to be as high as it would have been at this level 5 years ago. But really what a homeowner needs to do right now is to take a hard look at their budget. Look at your cost of living and your expenses 6 months before the pandemic occurred to get a real sense of what it was you were spending on. And perhaps now that you're buying a home, certain things will fall off in a way that you may not have expected. Perhaps you won't eat out as much because you'll have this great kitchen that you'll be cooking in. However, experts do warn that don't automatically assume that you're going to completely change your habits. Even if you do decide that you're going to make some cuts, try to be thoughtful about what those cuts are going to be because, you know, somebody who vacations twice a year and expects that kind of a lifestyle, it's going to be really difficult for them to cut back those sorts of things. And then, of course, don't forget about those important financial goals like saving for retirement, because those kinds of priorities are essential. They're extremely important and they really compound over time. So you can't just like decide that you're not going to save for your retirement because you're buying a house. Those things really need to go hand in hand. And same goes for debt that you're paying off.
And what about just waiting to buy? You know, the current market conditions aren't going to stick around forever.
That's right, JR. Right now we're in a seller's market. That means that it's the best time for sellers to sell and probably one of the worst times to buy. However, it really depends on where you are in your life. And, you know, if you were ready to buy a home and needed to buy a home for whatever reason, and now is the time for you to do so, then of course, go right ahead. However, it is going to be quite difficult to get the house at the price that you were hoping for. And you're going to be in a situation where you might be in a bidding war. I mean, I spoke with people all across the country who echoed the exact same thing. People are bidding against each other like crazy for these homes, and they're really being scooped up immediately, right as they're listed. So it is a difficult time. And if you can wait, a lot of experts recommend that you do. Even if mortgage rates might inch up a little bit in the next couple years, you may get a situation where there'll be more inventory, more houses will be built. You know, some people might foreclose this summer or after this summer, and that will shake a few more homes into the market and allow you to have more options and perhaps not be in a situation where you're in a bidding war. So really, it depends on where you are in the country, what city you're in, what neighborhood you're interested in buying in, because certain areas like Austin, Texas, for example, I mean, we don't have a crystal ball, but it doesn't seem like prices are going to go down in that part of the country anytime soon.
All right. That's our personal finance reporter, Deborah Acosta. Deborah, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, JR. It was a pleasure.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.